This is the one night. All sorts of things. Roam free.
Hello and welcome to episode 37 of Popcorn and Prosecco, a show that's all about talking about movies. I am Perry Nemiroff, and here are my co-hosts, Christy Prochko and Angie Han.
Hi, everyone.
Hello. I'm a minion today.
I'm Fury. Look, I got my treads from a tank, my Fury cannon arm, and a little Brad Pitt on my shoulder.
And the tank from Fury.
And I am a Widow's Peak police officer.
Child eater.
Hey.
All right, so this time around, we are going to talk about our favorite Halloween movies. Then we're going to move on to Ouija, and we're going to wrap up with Horns. So who's kicking it off? Christy.
I'm kicking it off with Halloween favorites. It's an all-Halloween episode, guys.
In case you couldn't tell by the weird shit that we're wearing.
It could get weirder if we use Google effects.
Oh, there's so much outtakes of that. Anyway, Halloween movies. So there have been a lot of posts and stuff about what kind of movies you watch during Halloween. So we decided we would start off this episode by talking about the movies we like to watch during Halloween. And I'm going to kick it off with Hocus Pocus, because Hocus Pocus is kind of, to me, the ultimate Halloween movie. It's not especially scary, but we have other people that are going to take care of that for us. So I'm going to go with Hocus Pocus, which is about the three Sanderson sisters who are witches from way back when that caused all these problems, and they come back because of a snooty virgin trying to impress a girl, and he lights a candle, and they come back, and it's a lot of fun, and there's almost every Halloween trope in it. There's like a zombie, and there's kids dressed as different things, and there's a mom dressed as Madonna, because you need that. There's lots of good stuff, and I can just not stop watching Hocus Pocus. It's playing, I think, on Lifetime kind of continuously, and I've watched it at least 3 times in the past week.
You had to tell me that?
I need to get past the
deep impact thing. I don't know what channel I have it on. It's one of the movie channels, but it's on like continuously, and every time I turn my TV on, because I never change the channel, it's on. But now I will change it to Hocus Pocus.
Yeah, go to Lifetime.
Well,
and what's great about it is, like, I mean, like, that's actually why watching Hocus Pocus is when I did the Photoshop of the three of us as the witches. Like, that was not just, I was bored, but also inspired by Hocus Pocus.
Hocus Pocus is an amazing movie. I used to watch that. I still watch that movie on repeat, but when I was a kid, I mean, year-round, multiple times in a row, that poor VHS tape.
I don't think I watched the whole thing, or even that much of it, in years, but this is making me sad that I haven't.
I also had a crush on Zachary Binks, not the cat, but the boy before he was a cat.
No, I still had a crush on him when he was a cat.
Of course you did.
And
now things got real weird.
Not a little bit. I, though, was a little upset when that news about Hocus Pocus 2 came out, and then it was bullshit. Because, you know, I don't want to ruin Hocus Pocus, but if the Sanderson sisters happen to come back together, I'd be totally fine with that.
That'd be fun. I mean, that was kind of the thing. I really loved it's Bette Midler and Kathy Najimy and Sarah Jessica Parker, and they're such a great threesome in that movie. They're so funny and, like, weird and, like, Bette Midler just goes for it. It's just such an over-the-top role, and she screams a lot, and she has these, like, she has her lips painted super teeny. Everything about it is so funny and weird. And Kathy Najimy riding the vacuum cleaner, like, it's just still so much fun.
Their song. I love that song.
I put a spell on you.
I prefer her version.
You're mine.
Oh, it's impression time.
Everyone take a shot. Christy's doing her impressions.
Oh, but yeah, that's my pick. I think we can move on to Angie's pick.
Okay, so mine is scary. Not only is it scary, but the first time I saw it, it was actually, to this day, it is the most scared I have ever been watching a movie. So the movie I'm going with is The Ring, which I saw when I was, I guess, about 18, and to be fair, part of it was that I hadn't seen that many horror movies growing up, so up until that point, horror movies are still kind of, like, new and weird to me, so that was part of it. But I was absolutely fucking terrified. I've never been scared like that at a movie again. And then last night, I rewatched it to see if it still holds up. And granted, it's not as scary now that it's, like, been 10 years and, like, now that I know all the twists and stuff, But it's so creepy as fuck. Like, it's not even... I guess it's not even that the movie is, like, scary the traditional sense. It's just creepy. It just fills you with this, like, oh, don't like it feeling. In, like, a really fun way, if that makes any
sense. No, it is. Like, when I see those, like, quick shots of Samara coming out of the well, there's something about, like, how disheveled she is and the way her body moves that's just so... Because we don't get shit like that very much, like, where it's more practical like that, and it looks like a body contortionist versus, like, I don't know, a Mama-style character rising out of the well.
To me, everyone giving shit to Mama. What? I liked the Mama puppet. I thought that was creepy.
Have you ever seen the Mama motion test?
No.
Go Google the Mama motion test and then compare it to what you get in the movie. They are freaking crazy that they just bathe that performance in CG. Because it's so unnerving when you watch what this person can do with his body.
Yeah. Fair enough.
But, yeah, going back to The Ring, first of all, I should clarify that I'm talking about the American remake, and I know some people are going to give me shit for that, but I haven't seen the Japanese one. Sorry.
The Japanese one is kind of silly. It's kind of silly.
Okay, well, the American one is the one I'm talking about. And to me, the creepiest thing about this movie, all the stuff you said is fucking creepy. And I remember the first time I watched it, going home and just, like, staring with intense suspicion at any screen in my dorm. Like, I was just like, why is there a TV in here? You know, it just makes it terrifying. Actually, that's one of the things about this movie, though, that's kind of hilariously, like, you watch it now, and it hinges on VCRs and landlines, and you're just like...
They said they're going to do another one, and I'm legit concerned.
I think it's The Ring 3D.
Yeah, they are making another one.
But, like, I mean, is it the idea going to be that she now, like, has upgraded...
I don't know if it's actually happening or there's information out or anything like that. I think it's kind of one of those things that, hey, we're going to try to do this and make it happen.
I guess if we can believe a haunted VHS tape, we can believe a haunted, like, USB drive.
Yeah, but no, we can't. Because have you seen movies like Pulse and One Missed Call? Those movies suck.
I kind of feel like, if anything, they're going to do something with, like, you know, viral videos. That seems like the logical step. I don't know.
I'm kind of hoping they don't even do that now, because I'm hearing that didn't work too well in a VHS viral.
I don't know. But anyway.
There's something else that's doing that, too.
I'm trying to
wrap up my talk about The Ring, though, this, you know, so weird outdated technology and, like...
popped in my head.
Sorry?
It's the Scream TV show. They're doing the viral video thing.
Yes. But leaving all that aside, to me, the creepiest part of The Ring is how the whole movie is about, like, you know, once you see these images, you're going to die. And then the movie just proceeds to make you, like, burn those images into your mind over and over. And to me, that is the creepiest thing about it, because even after you stop watching it, you kind of still keep seeing them in your head, and they kind of stay with you, and every time you think of one, you kind of shudder. And anyway, that is why...
Angie, I just... This minion cap...
I know! I was thinking the same thing.
You can't take me seriously talking about horror movies when I'm wearing this.
Yeah. You kind of look like that helmet cat, the cat wearing a melon. I'm sorry.
Intercom melon cat here. All right. So let's move on to mine before we all have a meltdown. I'm going with one of my favorite Halloween movies of all time. And I'm talking, like, specifically Halloween, too. Not just, I mean, it's one of the better horror movies. It's, like, at the top of my list overall. But Halloween is basically defined by trick-or-treat for me. Because for years now, except not this year, FearNet has been doing 24-hour marathons of trick-or-treat. And now there's no more FearNet. And it's the first year that I'm like, holy shit, what am I going to do on Halloween?
Do you not own it?
I have a digital copy, but it's not the same, you know? Like, during Halloween, I'll just leave my TV on all day, like, when I'm just hanging out in the apartment, so it's, always on in there.
I actually remember last Halloween, and it was literally just, you had that on in the background.
No, I'm not surprised, but I do also have a gigantic...
It's a twisted movie to just casually have on in the background. Like, I have,
it's
like,
not that scary.
The Today Show casually on in the background. Perry just has, like, a movie where people's skin gets ripped off, and
this year I'll have the Twilight Zone marathon casually on, but I have a gigantic trick-or-treat poster hanging in my living room, though, which I door. But anyway, part of the reason...
You also got your little Gaga and the Creeper in the background.
Oh, yeah. Sam's up there, too. I like Sam. Except, you know, if you buy the Funko Pop toy of Sam, his head isn't weighted properly, and he just falls right over, which is kind of sad. But Leatherface is holding him up right now, so it's okay.
That's as is a
Leatherface.
We can stop freaking out. So, Trick or Treat is an incredible horror Halloween anthology. There's a lot of stuff going on, but it kind of centers on that character Sam, which, if you don't know who Sam is, it's the little child that has the burlap sack over his head and wears that orange jumpsuit and carries around the cracked lollipop. And there's basically just a whole bunch of situations that play out on Halloween night.
It's a
Anna
bunch of
Paquin's in
vignettes.
it, and she goes out with a bunch of her friends, and they go to this party, and I'm not going to spoil anything, but creepy shit happens there. There's a group of kids who go to this place where this urban legend is, and it involves a school bus and an accident that happened, and I think that might be one of my favorite things ever. And
Ooh.
I love Dylan Baker's part too with the boy next door.
The thing I like about this movie so much is that it plays into a big part of horror movies that I grew up with, which is that there are rules, and if you break the rules, terrible things happen, and that's the entire lineup. That's actually the trailer of Trick or Treat, like, plays it like it's a PSA of, like, be careful about taking candy from strangers, and, like, don't fuck with the dead, and,
I
you
haven't
know,
watched the
really
trailer
words to live
forever.
by. You should actually just watch this movie, if not for the joy of Halloween, which is totally solid, but just for safety.
Just so you don't end up like a character in one of the other horror movies that we've been talking about.
Pretty much. But this is also just a special one because it's about Halloween. That's another reason I really appreciate it, because there's so many little things that, I mean, it takes place on Halloween, but there's so many little things that go down during the night that make me think of, I mean, obviously I didn't do the things these characters do, but make me think of what happens during Halloween. Like just remembering when you're little and going trick or treat and worrying about what's in the candy and thinking about the urban legends and all that kind of smashing pumpkins. I didn't smash any pumpkins, but all that fun stuff, and it's all wrapped up in this movie, and it's really a shame that no one is marathoning it this year. Shame on whoever canceled Fearnet and this, because this movie is priceless and everybody should get to experience it on Halloween.
Yeah, seek
Yeah,
it out.
it's really a Halloween movie in the way that there aren't as many Halloween movies as you would think. There are lots of horror movies. There are some movies set on Halloween, but not many of them are about Halloween that
I
way.
mean, even the Halloween franchise, I think that lost sight of its namesake.
Yeah.
I mean, it was Michael Myers. They might as well have called it Michael Myers. It didn't need to be
Yeah.
called Halloween after a while. All
Cool.
right. So I guess that's it for Halloween movies, right? Anybody else have anything to add?
No, I think we nailed it.
All
I
right,
mean,
so
I know that I didn't sell it, but seriously, The Ring, it's creepy. Don't listen to my hat.
Trick or treat! Okay, I'm done now.
I'm going to say all the above.
Okay,
Marathon them all. Eat,
that's very
get
nice
sick
of
eating
you.
candy.
All right, so now we're going to move on to what is, I mean, I guess it's trying to be the Halloween movie of 2014, because there's really no wide releases coming out next weekend to benefit
Yeah.
off the box office,
That
but
makes me sad.
It doesn't make me nuts. Maybe a little bit. All right, whatever. I'll just get into it. So,
Brad Pitt,
this
are you
one.
sad? Brad Pitt is also sad.
Is that Brad Pitt's sad face?
That's, yeah, they're a little close up on Brad Pitt.
He looks a little like sad Keanu.
Where's that Batman? All right, so the movie we're talking about right now is Ouija, the latest board game to film adaptation. And it starts off with this girl who pulls out a Ouija board and breaks one of, like, the ultimate Ouija board rules. You do not play alone. Sure enough, she plays alone and she dies. And her friends are all, like, super sad and we want to help you and we miss you and all that stuff. So they go to her house and they find her Ouija board and they're like, let's talk to Debbie. And they start moving the piece around and something starts talking back. And it gets really scary and malicious. All right, not really scary, but there's lots of jump scares, a couple which caught me off guard. But, it's probably what you're expecting if you have seen a trailer for this movie. This thing is pretty formulaic. There's a lot of horror cliches in this thing. And it pretty much just relies on jump scares. But I had fun with it. And I think it was because I really liked the main character. I didn't necessarily like the main character, but I liked the actress who played her. I found that everything that she was kind of assigned to say was really cliche and stupid, but I thought she said it rather naturally, so I was kind of buying it. Clearly, Christy does not agree with me, but and here's one that Angie won't agree with me. There's two boys in this movie, and holy shit, they're like up there as some of the worst characters of the year. One of them in particular just
Of
had
the
like,
year?
oh my
Wow.
God. Pete, Debbie's
Are we gonna
boyfriend,
have our biggest
Debbie's
fight
boyfriend Pete.
Of Ouija? Is that what's gonna happen? I'm excited. Go on.
Okay, all right. Well, here's a good one. Freaking Lynn Shay is in this movie as a creepy old lady.
Yeah.
Did I just spoil that?
No,
she's on the IMDb page.
But the thing is that, like, Lynn Shay is, like, she's so there for street cred of, like, horror stuff, and it's just, it is the most street cred this movie earns. What kills me is that I think the movie, like, the movie up until the opening title card was actually really interesting. It starts off when the girls are just little and playing Ouija at, like, a slumber party, and, like, I feel like that's a thing a lot of women in particular can relate to, and, like, that was fun and creepy. But then, like, they throw it all out the window by this plot that gets more and more incoherent and ridiculous. And, like, the reason I was making face when you were talking about the girl, the things she said were so stupid. And, like, she just didn't have any sense of logic. Like, there's one point where she wants to figure out if maybe there were some spirits in the house before her friend moved there. So she goes and creeps up into the attic and then goes, maybe we should Google these pictures I found. Why the shit didn't you Google who lived there before you went into the creepy attic? Like, what?
If I were her and I was that desperate to find out who it was and I didn't think to Google it first, I'd probably be the asshole to crawl up into the creepy attic. I'm not going to lie. I would do that.
It's not even her, though. Like, the whole movie, one of my biggest problems with this movie is pretty much any horror movie you watch, there's always, like, the characters pretty much always do things where you're like, what? No, that's such a bad idea. But this movie was full of terrible ideas. Like, for example, one thing that really bugged me is that, so this ghost apparently has the power to, like, turn lights off in the house. So every time they're in this creepy house, the lights go out. Why the shit wouldn't you go during the day? It can't turn off the fucking
sun. But also go back to the house a lot.
They go to the house a lot. Sometimes they'll be like, oh my god, there's a creepy...
Well, they have to go to the house because...
They talk about it for 5 minutes before they run away.
But if they don't go back to the house, they can't stop themselves from dying.
But, I mean, the thing is...
There's some logic there.
I just feel like the whole thing is set up so poorly. And then
it's very thin.
Yeah, and then there's just stuff like the characters are not developed. It's like, here's best friend.
They actually start out trying to develop the characters. Like, they have, you know, for like the girl that Perry likes, like, they try to give her some kind of personality. I think that she's fine for the role they give her, but it's a nothing role. They're all nothing roles. You know, they try to give her an interesting role, like, interesting relationship with her sister. Like, they do try in the beginning, but all of that goes by the wayside. By the end, all the characters are interchangeable.
Yeah.
Which is a problem, because when you have a character and, like, people start to get knocked off one by one, you need to have a reason to care about everybody. I just kind of had fun with some of the kill scenes, at least. Some of them were...
Some of them were creepy. Like, and some of them
I'm
are...
thinking in particular a bathroom one.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that one.
It just... All this stuff felt like stuff I had seen before but done better. And it got to the point where I started thinking maybe I wasn't giving the movie a fair shake and started thinking that things meant things that they didn't mean. And I basically created a way more interesting movie in my head while
there's
I was watching
this one.
There's
a lot of red herrings that go nowhere.
There is a lot of interesting things, like, going down in this movie. It's just the fact that they'll, like, harp on something that isn't that great. Like, Once they do start talking to Lynn Shay, that's when it gets all convoluted, and she just spits out all this information that really means nothing. But the whole idea, I mean, there's parts of that idea, I'm trying so hard not to spoil anything, not that I guess it really matters.
The concept at its core was okay. The problem is that instead of creating a group of friends we actually give a shit about and so feel invested in their journey, they don't. They're just kids, and, like, the fact that they're friends is considered taken for granted, and so we don't care when they start dying. Like, did anybody give a shit when any of the characters were at risk?
I didn't care when they started to die, but I was having fun watching them die.
I wasn't even interested in that. I was just so scared at that point.
To me, the most, like, I didn't not enjoy the experience of watching a movie, but I also don't think it was a good movie. To me, it kind of felt like a movie. So I was sitting next to Christy while I was watching it, and there were so many moments where I was like, I wish that Christy and I were watching this at home while drinking bourbon, and, like, we could turn to each other and, like, you know, talk smack, and we could, like, yell at the TV, because that's the kind of movie this is. It's not a good movie.
Why couldn't you have talked smack during that movie? Everybody else in the theater was talking.
Because I'm a civilized person.
Yeah, there was literally someone screaming obscenities that he apparently thought was really funny.
Like, this isn't a spoiler, but that part where with the floss, and someone's like, I use Listerine, bitch. And I'm just like, what is happening?
Yeah, someone else yelled, that's Lidl floss. I was like, oh, God, like, it's not Riff Trax. I don't care.
But it would be, it's not, I didn't like that experience in the theater of, like, having all the people around me talking, but I absolutely get the instinct, because to me, that's the only way that this would be a genuinely enjoyable experience, is if I had been watching it on my couch with you guys, you know, shit-faced drunk, and, like, laughing and yelling and being like, you fucking idiots, what are you doing? Like, it's that kind of movie.
The things they did in the movie, like, yes, there's that cliche where people in horror movies, like, make dumb decisions. There's even a commercial on now that I forget what it's for, but it's like, let's go hide behind the chainsaws. And, like, you're like, yeah, that, okay. But a lot of the times it's like that because the people are scared and, like, in the moment they don't make the right decision. But this, people methodically make the wrong decisions again and again and again. And, like, there's, like, a character who knows what's going on, but they don't consult her for no apparent reason. And there's just so much where you're just like, why? Yeah, like,
there's absolutely a character who, like, from the very beginning, it's obvious that this person, like, knows all the answers. But for large swaths of the movie.
Obviously, there had to be a character like that in this movie.
I mean, and that's totally a thing in the movies. That's fine. But, like, the movie forgets this character exists.
It's not like the characters forget that this person exists because they're so, like, busy and desperate. The movie itself just is like, can you just not remember that this person exists? Because if you do, then the movie will be over too fast. So let's just, I know we introduced this character, but let's just forget about it for a
while.
It's
also one of those movies where the parents magically vanish from the scene. Like, this girl's best friend just died, and her dad's like, well, that's tough. I have a business trip. See you laters. And he takes off and vanishes for the rest of the movie, as do the parents of the girl who died, so the house is just wide open. So then there's just these five teenagers who none of them have parents, apparently.
And also, whatever. None of them look like teenagers. Some of those teenagers look older than me.
Yeah. I was IMDBing them after to see what else they were in, because when we figured out what's his face, the guy I don't like is from Stage Fright. I think he's like 30.
I absolutely believe that. I was watching that, and I was like, even by Hollywood standards, these teenagers look fucking beat. They look old. Like, they have.
Well, that was the thing. They're talking, and I thought they were supposed to be in college, and then someone says something about school, and I was like, wait, what? Like, it's...
I feel like the fact that there's no parents around makes it even weirder that they're supposed to be teenagers, because if you're like, 16 or 17 or 18, like, you would have parents at your house, probably. I don't know. It was just like, it's a small detail. I don't know why we're harping on so much, but it's just another way in which this movie kind of, like, doesn't make any sense. And just
I think I was really let down, because I thought the starting off with the slumber party thing, the starting off with this friendship between these two girls, I thought that was going to be really interesting and powerful. Even the introduction of the sister, those were all things I was interested in. And two of them get chucked out 10 minutes in, and then the third thing is wildly underdeveloped.
Well, by the middle of the movie, you could literally just switch any of the characters for another. You could switch someone in from a different horror movie. It wouldn't fucking matter.
No, it wouldn't. But I would say, all right, all of this is totally accurate. It is not a very well-done movie, but I think if you're one of those types of people, like I can be every so often, where you can kind of push logic issues and things like that aside and just have fun with, like, you know, the mythology of what's happening, even if it's a little flaky, and just seeing cool kill scenes, then... Yeah, it's harmless. It's better than Annabelle.
It is better than Annabelle.
Is this really what we're doing, though? I mean, I'm not going to tell... Like, I actually... Like, tickets in New York now have gone up to $15. I would never tell anyone to spend $15 on seeing Ouija.
I would tell certain people, too. I think if you're a person who can have a lot of fun with this kind of movie, you don't need a quality movie, but you need a fun movie. And for me, this was a fun movie.
I would say watching it at home makes sense, where, like Angie said, you can, like, have a beer and be a douchebag about it in the comfort of your own home and, like, not bother other people. But, like, I feel like, and I guess in some towns this is not the thing, but a lot of places in New York City are having revival screenings where they're showing, like, great horror movies from the past. And I would say do that. And if you don't have a revival screening near you, just rent something. Like, I just don't think Ouija's worth seeing.
I don't think it's worth seeing. I don't know. I'm kind of in between you two because I don't really think it's worth seeing. I wouldn't necessarily recommend it, but I do think that there is a place in my life for a shitty-ass horror movie that I can watch drunk at home and not feel bad that I was drunk. Because, like, a lot of the better horror movies you're talking about, those are things I want to actually experience properly, not, like, you know, buzzed and, like, yelling at the TV. So... Would I recommend this? No. On the other hand, I mean, if you're in the mood for that kind of thing, if you're in the mood for something dumb that you can just, like, yell at the TV about, yeah, sure. If it's on TV, don't pay $50 for it.
All right. Is that
Where was the cricket button when I needed it? Damn it.
I guess we'll move on unless anybody has anything else they want to say. All right.
I wasn't quick enough again. I was trying to get there.
Oh, is that why you were being quiet? I was like, did I say something horribly offensive? Because everyone just kind of fell into this, like, sad silence after I stopped talking. I can't believe you did that again. I was like, what's going on?
Nailed it. All right, let's move on to segment three in horns.
Okay, so I will take over from here. Perry, get yourself under control, lady. I will take over from here. So Horns is the new movie by Alexander Aja? Aja? Sorry, I'm bad at pronouncing.
I like that you're that drunk before we started out having to say drunk. Alexander Aja. And then you mispronounced the word pronounce.
The minion hat is melting your brain.
I think it is. I think I'm like slowly my mental capacity is going down the level.
You're gonna start talking like a minion soon. You should do minion speak the rest of the episode.
Everyone.
You know what, Perry? I think that you would like that a little too much.
I would.
But anyway, so Horn stars Daniel Radcliffe as a guy who has been accused of murdering his girlfriend, who was played by Juno Temple. And, you know, the whole town thinks he's guilty, and everyone's, like, so mad at him, and they all hate him, and he's, like, so bitter and unhappy, and he insists that he didn't do it. And then one day he wakes up, and he just has these fucking horns sprouting out of his head, and he also realizes that along with the horns, he's developed this weird, kind of like a superpower, where people are always just wanting to tell him about, like, their darkest and most fucked up desires. Not all of them are, like, flat-out evil. Some of them are just like, I want to eat, like, 12 donuts in a row, but it's basically people saying things to him that they want to keep hidden. And so, armed with these two new things about his life, he sets out and tries to find out who actually killed his girlfriend and what actually happened to her. It's based on a book by Joe Hill, which I understand is, who's the son of Stephen King, and I understand it's a book that a lot of people like. I had not read it, so when I watched the movie, I went in not really knowing much about what was going to happen. And I feel like maybe because of that, this movie really didn't do much for me. It basically becomes, the movie wants to be, like, you know, deep and, like, have deep thematic resonance, and, you know, the horns are clearly supposed to symbolize something, but it felt to me like a symbol in search of meaning, because what this movie really is a pretty straightforward mystery, you know, whodunit thriller type of film, except that the character has a superpower no one really, where no one can lie to him, so it's really straightforward. Like, imagine an episode of SVU where the detectives are just going around, they're like, did you do it? And people are like, I didn't, but let me tell you, I know who did. And then, you know, they go to the person, like, did you do it? And the guy's like, yeah, sure, I did it. Like, it's what the movie felt like to me. I don't know, that part of it really didn't work.
The rules weren't particularly well established either. There were certain people who didn't fit within those restrictions. And I had read, like, half the book at this point, and even knowing that threw me off in the movie. I'm like, so wait, how does this work? Who can say what?
I actually, like, I read the book before I saw the movie, and I was disappointed because in the movie, it's not a murder mystery, or in the book, it's not a murder mystery. Like, he finds out who killed his girlfriend.
Right away.
Yeah, and then it's really about him dealing with that, and, like, now that he knows this,
I think that would have worked better, because then it would have been a movie about, you know, like, it would have been a movie about a guy kind of wrestling with something that, some, like, really screwed up information. It would have been a movie about him, like, coming to terms with, like, what actually happened, like, things like that. But not only do they not do that, so it's like a really boring-ass murder mystery where nothing can possibly go wrong, they also, because of the way the movie is set up and stuff, it's immediately obvious what happened to her. Like, the second that they hint at it, it's impossible not to pick up on the clue, so then you just kind of spend the next, like, hour and a half waiting for the main character to catch up to the thing that you figured out.
As in, you knew who did it right away in the movie?
You know who did it right away, and you also know, you also have a pretty good idea of why. And
what's crazy is that they changed so much from the book, especially to make it, like, who did it? And they radically change a major character to make him a red herring. Hmm. And, like, it just doesn't mean anything. Because, like, I was watching it, and I was like, wow, this feels really obvious. And then I talked to people afterwards who had not read the book, and they were like, so in the book, is it super obvious from the beginning that this and this and that? Like, they knew it all within, like, 5 minutes. It's just, it's such a weird translation where they tried to make this a whodunit, but the changes they made, like made it incredibly obvious, even though it's meant to be the opposite. I don't think it's a very well structured mystery, but I feel like there are elements of this that I thought were fun. Like, I actually think Daniel Radcliffe was
wonderful. I did think it was fun. You thought what?
I thought Daniel Radcliffe was really wonderful in this. Like, he's fun, and he has a good American accent. I was impressed. And my favorite scene is one that's actually not in the book, where it's in the trailer, so I'm not giving away anything too much, where he's basically being stalked by the media, who's like, why'd you kill your girlfriend? And he says he'll give an exclusive to whoever beats the shit out of the other one, and so they all start attacking each other, and then he goes into a bar where everyone's treating him badly because they think he's killed the girl too, and basically, like, this power allows him to get kind of vengeance on all these people who have been shitty to him, and that was exciting and fun, and something I wanted to see Alexander Aja have more fun with, but then they take it in a really weird direction with, I'll just say with the waitress, which is not something that happens in the book. It's just really strange. I didn't get what this movie like was trying to accomplish, and like parts of it were fun.
I think that was my biggest problem with it. Like, yeah, like you said, parts of it are fun. I had a relatively good time watching it. Daniel Radcliffe is fun, and it's a really good looking movie. Like, it's really like really pretty to look at, very cinematic. But at the end, I was like, it just doesn't feel like it adds up to that much. Like,
well, it's because you have all that shit with the waitress. All of that is just so forced. It's like that so clearly doesn't fit. At that point in the movie, that's when almost like even the tone and the look of it really changes. It's like when you're in that diner, you don't feel like you're in the same film anymore, which is really unfortunate. But, I mean, I think Daniel Radcliffe carries almost the whole thing. I think part of the reason that this works at all is because he puts on such a damn good performance. He makes you believe it. I remember when that picture of him first came out with the horns on his head, I looked at that and I'm like, holy fucking shit, this kid's got his work cut out for him. How is he going to sell that? And you know what? He sells it really freaking well. And he makes you like believe in Ig and want to fight for him, even though you don't really know what he's capable of and if he's a good guy or not. And he walks that line really, really well. And you know, some of the other characters were fine, too. I think that they just put more attention on him and kind of thinned everybody else out, so no one else really lands as well.
Like, not only are people thinned out, like, there's, like, nothing to any of the other characters. They're kind of, like, symbols and props, you know, that are kind of aiding them on this journey. There's no, like, clear, you know, there's, like, when you find out some shocking things about people, there's no clear reason why it makes sense for that character to, like, be like that or to, like, have that in his or her past or anything like that. It's just, you know, they just kind of need to have that there for the story to come together. Like, and it felt like the whole movie was like that. I don't want to take anything away from Daniel Radcliffe's performance. I think he's great, and I'm so happy that he's doing so well after Harry Potter, not for nothing. Because I think we're all like, is this guy going to be Harry Potter forever? Fuck no, this guy is very talented. So I was happy about that, but I don't know. Like, for example, there's so much, you know, like, angel and devil imagery, so much, like, religious crap, and you're like, oh, it's going to be, like, a battle between good and evil, and it's going to be, like, you know, about when good people go bad or the other way around. No, it's not about any of that.
It's really strange. I mean, like, especially because, like, watching the movie, I had the book in my head, and like I said, the changes they make, a lot of them I was just like, well, why, though? Like, there's one character that they cut her involvement down so much, I don't even understand why she's in the movie anymore.
Which one? I want to know.
The girl that eats the donuts.
Oh, Glenna.
Yeah, she's like a much more, she's much more
she's
of a part
in
the movie.
She's a presence in like the first act of the movie, and then she just kind of disappears. You're right. I don't
also
know
like dull who they are. Like, she had a much more grating presence in the book and did these ridiculous things that kind of,
she's a lot sadder. She was a kind of pathetic character, but I had like, I felt bad for her because, well, there's a lot of reasons, but I don't want to get into, like, what, whatever. But, like, the book I really liked, and I'm not saying I hesitate to say it's a good book, because it's a totally, like, trashy read. Like, I read it in 2 days, and it fulfills that same...
It must be fun if you read it that fast.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, it's, like, it's very much, like, it's just so fucked up that it felt like marathoning Tales from the Crypt, where I was just like, no! And then I just kept reading, and it was fun. And, like, there are moments of the movie that are like that I enjoyed, but I was surprised that
it doesn't go as far, though, which is unfortunate, because it would have been really cool to see certain crazy things that go down in the book play out, like, right before your eyes. But they pulled the reins on quite a bit.
That's what's so confusing, because you hire Alexander Aja. Like, he did the Piranhas movie where a girl's face gets ripped off by getting caught in, like, a... Like, there's...
This movie took a while to come out. You know, you never know. Maybe there was more to it, and...
Are you saying you think that
someone,
they toned it down so that it would get more teens?
Maybe someone demanded to take it out. It's possible. I mean, because why else would the movie take so long?
Maybe.
I
that's the thing. It's just a confounding creation. Like, based on the source material and what they came up with, it's just so weirdly sanitized. And it's like, it's a movie about a guy who's accused of murdering his girlfriend and then becomes an actual demon. Like, why was this something that needed to be tamed?
It is, you're right. I mean, I haven't read the book, so I can't compare, but you're right. It does feel, like I said, it just feels like such a straightforward mystery with, like, very little insight into the human condition or whatever the fuck those horns are supposed to represent. It's not even clear. I don't know. I kind of felt, and it doesn't, at the beginning, the premise felt very Gone Girl to me, and so it did not improve with that comparison already in my head.
It's still an enjoyable film, though. I mean, I feel like all we've done is harped on negatives, but, you know, I would say that it's not refined. Like, it feels a little all over the place. Like, chunks work here and there, and it doesn't flow at all as a whole, but it's, you know, it's kind of like I want to almost call it like a Goosebumps vibe, too. Like, there's something like Goosebumps for adults, like something
sure.
silly and hokey to it, but you're supposed to buy into it and be afraid.
Like, overall, I liked it. I just, it's not what I expected having read the book and then knowing that Alexander Aja was doing it. Like, he did High Tension. I was expecting something a lot more hard-hitting than this allows itself to be.
I mean, I think you're right. I think I'm being harder on it than I mean to, because I did, like, you know, I enjoyed it for the most part. I thought it was entertaining. I thought it was, like, fun to look at. But I think actually the reason that I'm harping so much is because when I watched it, it just seemed like it had the potential to be something better than it is, and I found that really disappointing. So, I mean, look, I feel like I'm making it sound like I like this even less than Ouija. It's not true. I like this a lot more than Ouija. It's just that, you know, it's my expectations are higher, and it seemed like they also had loftier ambitions, and as a result, I'm a little bit more disappointed.
It's a movie about a guy growing horns out of his head. They managed to sell it well enough, but they don't take it as far as they could have, which is a little disappointing. But that's it. It's still a fine film.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. Huh.
So overall,
it seems to be going into Halloween, what we're recommending is if people want to watch a horror movie, they should probably watch one of the ones we talked about at the top of the show.
No, I would tell them they can watch.
I would agree with that. I don't hate on Ouija or horns. I enjoyed them both. They made me happy while I was watching them. But yeah, I mean, if I'm comparing all five movies that we discussed tonight, yeah, go with one of the first three.
Yeah, no, I'm agreed.
Yeah, watch Trick or Treat.
Watch The Ring. Don't let Chrissy win or Perry. I want to win.
All right. So that, I guess, is it for tonight's Popcorn and Prosecco. Thank you guys for watching, and you can catch us all over the place. We are on YouTube. We are on iTunes, and please go there, rate us, like us, comment, whatever. That always helps us out, and we would appreciate it. We're also on popcornprosecco.com. You can catch us on Twitter, at popcornprosecco, and then all three of us are all over the web as well. Christy, you want to go first?
Sure. I'm on Twitter, at Christy Puchko, and I read all over the interwebs, but you can find my career highlights at decadentcriminals.com.
Angie?
You can find me on Twitter at AJHAN, and I write for slashfilm.com.
And you can catch me on Twitter at PNemiroff, and I write for collider.com. So, that's it. We will see you next week, and I guess if that doesn't go up soon enough, have a happy Halloween!
I hate Halloween.